Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello you, Pete Donaldson here with another advert. I'm pausing the football fun to tell you about a brand new product. You didn't ask for this, but it's happening, so strap yourselves in, all right? You've got a body. Have you ever considered cutting bits off it with our new razors or resting it on a mattress or making it watch some telly or filling it with booze? But only the kind of razors, mattresses, tellies and booze that we say you should use. Here's how to do all of those things right now. Getting over to a website, www.etc. Here's what code to type in, ramble, at the checkout. And oh God, adverts are so boring. But my friends, you've wanted this for such a long time. We've listened and we've been working ever so hard to bring it to you. You can live an ad-free Football Ramble Daily existence if you head on over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Sign up and you won't hear another advert. So that's less of me, a confirmed sociopath, telling you, a normal person, to buy stuff. patreon.com/footballrambledaily for ad-free Football Ramble Daily action. And now, let's get back to the fun. I'll probably say something rude like bum in a bit, so look out for that.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name's Marcus Speller.
My name's Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Well, guten tag, everybody. How are you? Hey.
Good.
What a beautiful morning, Jim Campbell. I'd like
it
to start.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. I'd just like to start. I don't know where this question's come to mind, but chaps, if you were on a desert island, who from you know which kind of football player would you want to take with you? Anybody?
Did it have to be a man?
Hey, go on, Mosey.
Can you please now clarify that so I don't come across as a massive sexist?
Yeah, that really threw me for a moment. I forgot what you were referring to. I was like, hang on, have we gone back in time?
Yeah, back in 2012 or something when we used to do opening questions.
Big's friends pulled out all the stops for Marcus this week. Marcus's best week since lockdown, 100%.
Yeah. He's just off on a little chuckle journey now, isn't he?
Yeah, that'll be him for gone.
On his little chuckle segue.
Thank you, Chuckle Mission. I thank you, everybody, for sending me that. my Twitter feed suddenly lit up yesterday because, of course, Sven Göran Eriksson was interviewed by... I say interviewed, he was on a what would be like a Zoom chat with some of the boys at Sky Sports.
Wasn't it with friend of the show, David Jones?
It was, yeah. I think Jamie Carragher was there because he was just in the background going, "Good, Sven!" With a different accent, of course. And Svenigans was asked that question. And he said, "Well, you know, if I had to choose a people, does it have to be a man?" And, you know, Brand Sven lives on. Is all I'm saying, gloriously.
Yeah. Ila got a lot of use out of that webcam over the year.
To be fair, Pete, he's probably not even watched all of his, let's say, private collection, has he?
Yeah.
His homemade stuff.
He watches them. He's like Bielsa. He watches two at the same time.
Yeah.
gold, sort of gilded VHS covers. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Like, those really posh ones you see in posh people's houses.
No, Pete, I reckon he's got his... I reckon he's got his VHS collection in those things that you used to have in the 80s where they looked like books.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, he'll have caught up with modern technology. He's getting through three or four tripods a week.
The lenses on them. Oh, yeah. God. He likes to be shot from like miles away, like by paparazzi. He likes to be shot macro, really close up. Either way, the lenses are huge, girthy.
Oh, let's see it from the point of view of your husband coming home. I don't know why I made him Welsh. It was the best I could do.
I thought that was the guy from the Super Furry Animals there.
I think Sweden is like the Wales of that part of the world, isn't it? Yeah. That's what I reckon.
Yeah, let me tell you about the time I managed England. of course, though, that my question actually would have been, because I hear what you're saying about the webcam, but surely it would have been, I hear they're not socially distancing in Sweden. Yeah. Sven. How's that working out for you?
Yeah.
Same as always. But, ladies and gentlemen, the big news, the really big news, of course, is the Bundesliga's back tomorrow. We've got football. We've got football. Before the lockdown, we sent Luke on a fact-finding mission to the Bundesliga, and Luke can confirm that it is a decent league, can't you, Luke?
Well, look, let's be absolutely clear. It's not the greatest league in the world.
No.
although it might well be the greatest league in Europe, certainly from tomorrow. I'm excited. I'm excited for the comeback, and it's a great game we've got to kick things off as well, Dortmund versus Schalke. Yeah. That's a proper... I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see... how it pans out, chiefly because, you know, at the Westfalenstadion, particularly in a derby game, the atmosphere would play a huge part. Now, clearly, we're not going to have that tomorrow, so it's going to be interesting to see who. And Andy and I were talking yesterday about there are opportunities in this division for teams now, because it's going to come down, I believe, in a huge way to which teams handle the conditions and handle the difference in what they're used to better. And I think you could potentially see quite a lot of very, very surprising results in the Bundesliga between now and the end of the season. And also, what's really important to stress, I think, is that Christian Seifert, the head of the German Football League, said that the eyes of the world are on us, and we've got to earn the right to play again next weekend. And I was also interested in what Paul Barber of Brighton and Graham Potter were saying this week as well, saying we want to learn the lessons that the Bundesliga is teaching us, and we want to see if we can build on what they're doing and see if we can use their experience to help us bring the Premier League back. So it's a huge weekend of football that we're really excited. The games are back anyway, because we want to watch football, but it's a massive litmus test for football at large as well. So we'll be watching very, very keenly.
Well, we will. I thought it was quite strange. You know, I had to sort of check a couple of websites and like, yeah, their fixtures are on because you're so used to seeing, you know, postponed or not on. So I was like, bloody hell, this is actually happening. I'm quite excited for it. Andy Brassel, because we were talking the other week, Luke, you've nailed your colours to the Dortmund mast, which, you know, it's fair enough. A bit obvious.
Shall I explain why that is?
Because you wanted to be a bit different.
No, because I'm just so fashionable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, in your Bob Marley t-shirt.
It's because I've been lumbered with Portsmouth. Let's make that absolutely clear. Yeah, I didn't choose that. It's been some all right times, but there's been some dreadful times as well. And I thought, if I'm going to be given the opportunity to choose a team, I'm just going to choose a team that I really want to support. So I chose Borussia Dortmund.
That's fair enough. Uh-huh.
I thought you were going to say, I wanted to choose the best side. I was like, well, you haven't, have you?
I couldn't quite bring myself to choose Bayern Munich. Wasn't in me, really.
That'd have been amazing.
Like, that's like rooting for Darth Vader, isn't it?
Become like a real diehard Bayern Munich fan.
Do you know what? Yeah. Part of me thinks I might do that, actually. Bollocks. It would just annoy everybody.
It would.
When I watched Bayern Munich v Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League final, I think it was in 2013 at Wembley. I know a couple of you guys were there as well.
Pete and I.
I was right among the Bayern fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I had to say was, I was just going to say was that it did soften my stance towards them, because when they won the Champions League, I was surrounded by crying fans. It meant such a lot to them. And I think when you support a team like Portsmouth, you used to be a bit sneery about teams like Bayern Munich because they always have it so good and et cetera, et cetera. But it meant a great deal to those fans to win it. They weren't blasé about it at all. They were so passionate. And so my stance towards the fans softened hugely, but I still couldn't bring myself to support them as a team. So I'm going Borussia Dortmund.
Mm. Bunch of blubbering babies, mate. That's what I thought.
Pathetic.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, because I was obviously with the corporates and Zinedine Zidane, and the reaction was the same. Peter was with the Dortmund fans. But anyway, that game was about 7 years ago now, fondly in our memories. But Andy Brassel, for those who... A little sneak peek into the mailbag, which will be out next week. He has highly recommended me a side, which I'm very happy with, and it's FC Köln.
Nice.
Yeah, they got the little goat as the badge, and we all love goat, you know. And some people even call me the goat, Jim. And I think I quite like that, so I'm going to go for FC Köln. So I am now a massive diehard with a vengeance FC Köln.
They're mid-table as well, so you might not get too much drama between now and the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go for them because obviously they're Lukas Podolski's beloved team, but I think I can't go for them if you're going to go for them. Who are you going for? Pete? I'm going to have to repick mine. I don't want to steal yours.
I sort of see like Hertha and Union Berlin as kind of like the Sunderland and Newcastle of the league. Obviously, Sunderland aren't doing quite as well as Union Berlin. But I mean, when you've got players like Solomon Kalou kind of bursting into other players' COVID-19 tests, not so distancing, like I think one of the Berlin clubs has to be me. Yeah, so I'll probably go for Hertha.
That is a terrible shout by you. You're an absolute joke, Don. Actually, no, it fits perfectly.
Well, exactly. It fits perfectly. I've been there. It's a nightmare to get to, like Newcastle is from London. So it works.
Peter, Jim, one thing that I mean, you've been robbed there again, because you know who's just been voted on to the or has just been appointed to the advisory board at Hertha as part of this multi-million pound project. Big Jens Lehmann.
Well, do you know what? I was about to say, Jim, let's look at the career of Jens Lehmann. Now, I know he did play for Dortmund for a bit, but they're gone.
Well, he played for Schalke too, didn't he? That's
he was at Schalke career. For about 10 years. But also, after Arsenal, he played for Stuttgart. Now, I know Stuttgart are in the second tier, I believe, at the moment, but they'll be back, Jim. Mm. So there's a couple of options for you there.
So what you're saying, I should pick a team in the Bundesliga 2 because they'll be back. I'm going to go for Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, why not?
It's a very likeable team, and they're about fifth, which scanned.
Jim, you said that Jens Lehmann played for Schalke 2. I think it's actually Schalke 4. So happy about that.
I actually think Schalke 2 is the better one.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay. I think Schalke Hislop is the best one.
Oh, here we go.
Schalke Hislop, that's class.
Yeah. Back in our own country, the government have opened the door to the Premier League returning. Our very non-committal government opening the door. And the Culture Secretary, Oliver Dowden, said during a meeting with football authorities that obviously health is the most important thing, of course. There should be widened access for fans to view live coverage, and finances from the game's resumption needs to support the wider football family. So all the stuff that we've kind of heard before, and we would hope so. So it is now down to the football authorities to agree agree and finalise the details. So it does seem that the Premier League is edging towards coming back. And I know what all the chat we've said before, I mean, if you think about the start of the lockdown, I was sort of saying that perhaps we should null and void or do what the Eredivisie have done and so on and so forth. But then, of course, you get a little sniff of the football with the Bundesliga coming up. Like, oh, I want it to return.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there have been studies of training sessions done and of matches that show that players only tend to come into contact with each other at a distance that would pose a risk of infection for something like 88 seconds in a match, isn't it?
And it's mad that.
And about 3 seconds in each kind of challenge. So that's far too short a window for it to risk infection, apparently.
Yeah, you know whose fault that is, Jim? That's bloody zonal marking for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've never seen zonal marking cure a virus.
No.
That's true. That is very true. But isn't this chat, and Jim, I read that report as well and with interest, but isn't that slightly, I mean, not slightly, maybe just wholly irrelevant, because what needs to happen for it to return safely is presumably that everyone needs to be tested, everyone needs to be clear, yes. And no one needs to have the virus. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit odd, and it's tremendously irresponsible to pursue it otherwise.
It's also not just about the game, is it? It's also about the people in the stadium and the staff and just the amount of people it takes to put on and televise a game, even without fans.
Yeah, I think it's several hundred people needed. But on the if you go back to Germany, just to relate it back, Dynamo Dresden obviously had a situation where they've had to quarantine their squad because of some positive tests. But the key part, as far as I understand it, is there's enough time for them. So because they've come back so early, there's enough time for them to finish the season. So they've got a lot of wriggle room. The Premier League probably won't have that. So it's going to it's going to be on a knife edge, really. And Marcus, at the top of this, when you said, oh, the government have opened the door, I thought you were going to say the government have opened the door and told everyone to go back to work.
Yeah.
which is how some people are interpreting it. But there are going to be meetings upon meetings. I saw that League One are meeting today, I believe. There's been a letter signed by some of the top, the higher up teams in League One, saying that if it's all possible, they want to finish the season. And then the guy from Accrington, who aren't doing quite so well, sort of laughed it off and said, well, that's, you know, come on, it's not going to happen. So there's a lot to get through first. And the fact of the matter is the UK's response to this compared to the German response has been completely different. It's not for me to ascribe what's been good and what hasn't been good. I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert in politics or pandemics, but it's been different and everything has to be treated on its merits. Germany's way ahead of us. And as I said at the start of this, you know, perhaps the Premier League are hoping they can observe and learn and see how it's best to be done. But ultimately, if we're not in a position to have enough testing and enough wriggle room in terms of safety, then it's not going to happen. And that's something that still is a question that needs to be answered, to me at least, from what I've read.
Well, if one of the important changes, cultural changes they've been described, that needs to take place for the Premier League's return, and all the players need to get on board with them, apparently, is when tackling someone, turn your face away.
It's just mad.
It just doesn't sound bulletproof, does it?
No, it sounds like you won't get the virus, but you might get a broken leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or at the very least, a quite annoying neck sprain. I think, you know, that is advice that's been put in place in lieu of having anything else better to suggest, isn't it? And I kind of understand why that's come out, but it is a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless it catches on and that just becomes a sort of like part of a tackle, just becomes like a reflexive thing.
Well, the thing that gets me is like the Premier League are talking about they're going to put together their list of cultural changes that must be accepted by the players for football to return. I'm just scared that's going to be just a way of like them getting, you know, like no moustaches, no crazy haircuts, no like really nice aftershave, like all the stuff that like old men in
football. Do you think Graham Souness
is? Yeah, tattoos. Yeah. No tattoos, no colour in your hair.
Graham, on this list here, you've just put no Paul Pogba. Yeah. that's only relevant to one player. You can't have that in there.
Yeah. You wrote PP. Do you mean PPE? No.
PPE is really important. Does it stand for Paul Pogba excluded? It's very
Paul
important.
Paul Pogba's ego.
Yeah. Speaking of that, though, Marcus and Jim, I've actually got some breaking news for you live on this show. I don't think you two are aware of it. I am, because I spoke to Pete the other day. Mm. Pete, do you want to announce this news or do you want me to?
I don't know what the news is.
Yeah, I think you do.
Oh, hair. Yeah. I got bored and I bleached my hair. So
oh, nice.
A member of the... Was it the Romanian team from 98?
98, yeah.
98.
Yeah. I know what you're picturing now, and the answer is yes, it does look like that.
Brilliant. Yeah, I've considered that myself, actually.
Well, I couldn't get a haircut, and we were on a group chat, and Charlie, the person who pulls some of the strings and levers here at Foot Bramble Daily, was sort of talking about how I was wearing a hat because I didn't really want anyone to know because I was a little sheepish about my decision at 39 to do that.
Marcus, he did it. He did it about an hour before. Yeah. He's already sheepish about it. He's got a hat on.
You're not sheepish at all.
But Charlie went, I might bleach my hair. And then I didn't talk like that. I might bleach my hair. And then everyone went, oh, why are you going to do that? And I was like, Charlie, don't do that. And I had to reveal my hair.
Yeah,
because,
that's the thing.
You know, it was a funny joke. So
exactly.
I look resplendent, Marcus. That's all you need to know.
That's all I want.
So, can I just appeal to our listeners and say, so a lot of you might have seen that Pete's had got this musketeer type beard at the moment because of lockdown, and that's just how his beard grows naturally. And I said that he looks like a disgraced medieval master of coin. But what he now looks like is someone just hanging out at the futuristic market in the background of a Blade Runner film.
Yeah, nice. Either way, they're great looks.
Yeah. Is there any sort of sick boy vibe?
Yeah, not as much as you'd think, actually.
It's a home bleaching, so it's
yellow.
It's surprisingly took. I look like a touring member of NoFX now. When they're
something, Luke. There, you go. I think you, Pete's gone from sort of troubadour, sort of wandering minstrel, to Fifth Element.
Yeah, it's definitely Fifth Element. So it's a Fifth Element type vibe where you probably, if you were to see him walking down the street, I mean, you'd have to cross the road anyway, but you probably would. Uh-huh. And you would say, is that a man from the future come to kill me?
Yeah.
No, it's a man from the future, but he's just a pervert.
We'll see him featured on the news later.
he's at the front door of Cyberdog demanding to be let in.
With his platform shoes on and his aluminium trousers.
Why won't you take my designs? My Diablo.
Anyway, so for the Patreon subscribers this week, Pete's doing a fire poi demonstration.
Beautiful. So, I kind of absentmindedly considered doing that as well, just to see what it would be like, because it would probably grow out in time.
Don't need to now.
I don't need to now. So, I mean, what would you guys like to see on my head?
Top hat. Big top hat. A big stovepipe hat.
That is something to spend my money on. My head's anyway, Marcus, too big for hats, though. Yeah, wrestle with back, Marcus.
Sorry for derailing that. That's completely my fault.
No, I was just wanted to say that many moons ago, I once dyed my hair in sort of tiger stripes, but the obviously like bleach and then the natural colour. It looked fantastic.
You need to get a photo of that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we need to see that.
I should have a photo in it, and it will very much be a photo from a disposable camera, because them were the days.
Yeah.
But anyway, all this chat about Project Restart, I absolutely love this. So you have a lot of meetings, football authorities, authoritative figures in this country coming out and saying, oh, we want to do this and this, but we have to agree. And then players saying, oh, I'm not sure about coming back. It seems quite dangerous and blah, 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 blah. And among all this chat, Jose Mourinho's had to deny reports saying he tried to delay Project Restart. And you think, Mourinho's still, like, you know, nefariously working away.
Just for the sake of it. It's to no one's benefit.
He's become like this sort of Dominic Cummings figure. I mean, just sort of pulling strings in the background.
It's so strange.
Everyone.
Well, at the back end of his Man United run, he did start to dress a bit like Dominic Cummings.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And could I also say that if you've got to the stage where, and I'm not, no one's suggesting there's any truth in this, they've just been reported elsewhere, but if you've got to the stage as a football manager, where you're actively trying to derail the sport itself rather than let your team take to the field, you've probably lost your touch somewhat.
Well, he denies this. He denies us. He says he is desperate for the Premier League to return. He's proud of his players.
Yeah, just not with Spurs in it.
Yeah, you lot can crack on. Well, no, actually, apparently during a meeting with all the league managers, Mourinho said to the more cautious members of the group, which included Frank Lampard and Pep Guardiola, he said, well, you stay at home and watch the Bundesliga if you don't want to play.
I mean, Pep Guardiola's mum did die of fucking COVID. Like, I'm not being funny. Like, that's Donny's die job downer, but he did literally, you know, I have a close member of his family passing away. So whoever said that in his fucking presence should be fucking, you know.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Rooney, I don't know if that was said in his presence and then he responded with that. I think that's unlikely, right. but you're absolutely right, Pete. It's understandable why Pep Guardiola may have be a little bit cautious with regards to that. But just in among all this, Mourinho managed to get a dig at all the other managers, and he's trying to get the allegedly, or he's been accused of trying to get the start date moved so it fits in with his players' fitness regimes and whatnot. Although he does deny this to the hilt, but then again, he would.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? But like, it just have a rest, Jose. It's what everyone else is doing. Like, have a little break from like fulfilling the duties of the Jose Mourinho character. It's exhausting for us. So I can't even imagine what it'd be like for you.
He has been volunteering, to be fair.
He has been volunteering, and you know, good on him. But I mean, this is reasonable evidence that he might have now gone feral. has anyone checked on him?
No, I worry about Pep Guardiola in the same. I worry about Jose Mourinho in the same way I worry about how heavy Ben Arfa is right now. Because every time he'd have a couple of months off, Ben Arfa would be piling on the food,
The thing, about the old weight gain, and I've had to take affirmative action. I've had to just decide to sort myself out. The problem with it is that obviously
isn't that just interviewing black people?
No, affirmative action. I mean, I've just stepped in.
A lot of personal trainers, and I only accept black applicants.
If it is that, that's not what I meant. What I meant was I've had to intervene on myself and say, look, come on, Luke, sort yourself out. Because one of the key factors about whether you're putting on weight or not, obviously you can weigh yourself, but is whether your clothes fit, right? Because there's obviously different reasons why your weight can fluctuate. It can be water weight, it can be lots of different reasons. And if your clothes are starting to get tight, that's a good good sign that you're putting on weight. Of course, I'm not wearing anything other than tracksuit bottoms, so there's nowhere checking.
It's when they start getting tight, you go, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I need a size up. Oh, dear.
These aren't Lycra. They weren't Lycra before.
Yes.
Well, yeah, when anything with Lycra in starts to get pulled to like further than it should do, it starts to become a little bit see-through, a little bit white. So, yeah. If you start to see your legs through your... it's just like a body stocking.
This is chilling. Now you're talking about body stockers. You've already bleached your hair. This is absolutely... Have you joined the circus?
If your Lycra starts screaming in agony, it's time to take action.
I'm not designed for this.
Oh, dear. Well, I was going to mention Harry Kane's shirt sponsor of Leighton Orient, but...
Well done, Harry. Well,
yeah, and that is nice.
And for those who haven't seen that, I mean, the way you said that, Mark, is like he's just got Harry Kane put on their shirt. I mean, he hasn't done that.
Do you know, I really hope that was the case when I...
No, it's not. I think he's paid for it and he's given over the real estate to three different charities, I believe.
Yeah.
There's a law.
You didn't get the stadium, but you can have this shirt sponsor from Harry Kane.
No, but there's a law that says, I think, in somewhere in, deep within the the regulations in the football in this country, it says you can't put political statements on shirts, but obviously these are charities, so I mean it doesn't fall under that, I don't believe. But it's an amazing gesture from him. You know, good on him.
You can put band names on there if they've sponsored the side, and we know this because of Clyde or Clyde Bank. I think it was Clyde had wet on their tops for
they
a while.
They did.
I think Mogwai sponsor somebody as well.
Super Furries, maybe someone. Oh, I can't remember now. I think of their tie-in with Actra Soccer.
I think, am I right in saying that at the height of Oasis power, they tried to sponsor Man City, but there was a conflict with the Oasis clothing brand or something, and they didn't do it.
That rings a bell to me. Yeah, didn't they end up sponsoring a lower league club or a non-league club instead?
I can't remember, but wait, definitely because of a guy I used to go to school with had the top with the with. I've seen it, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, it's true.
Have you felt it with your fingers? Did you feel it with your toes?
Look, I was a younger man at the time, I'd like to go to an ad break.
Edmonton.
Well, it is time for the adverts, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, if you don't want to hear any of those adverts, then do sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/footballrambledaily, where you can now hear ad-free rambles.
Hold up. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We could call it Pete and Mark's Colossal Tussle.
But we didn't. We called it Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
A celebration of all things WrestleMania and beyond. And you may be thinking, I'm not really into wrestling. Well, don't worry. There's something for everyone. To be honest, it's mainly about stuff like this.
So hang on. Easy Lover was the original theme on WrestleMania.
It was. Someone heard it on the radio and went, that sums up everything about WrestleMania to me.
And this. You can really see the old back acne on test.
Yeah.
And this.
Is it worth reminding people of what earthquake John Tenta looked like at 23 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
And this.
For the record, Marty has made it very clear, and I agree and believe him, that he has never, A, had sex with his daughter, or B, wanted to have sex with his daughter.
And the people behind the face paint doing the most unique job in the entire world. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. That's Wrestle Me.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
Welcome back to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PDD.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with PDD. I'd like to say, speaking of Hertha Berlin, obviously recommencing the Bundesliga action at the weekend. Ed Mansey, hi Ramblers. How on earth are Hertha even more West Ham than West Ham? Even being down to being rubbish at home at the Olympic Stadium. Can't wait to see my Hertha let me down at the weekend. Football is back, Ed. He's got a really cool sounding job, which I won't mention here, but it really did make me laugh.
Just to jump in really quickly on the German football team supporting thing. There was an Instagram, you know those Instagram story little things you can do where you blink or you nod and it gives you an option. Yeah, yeah. That's a really old man way of describing it, but I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. Well, Jack Dean, friend of the show, aka Jack mate, he was looking for a German team to support and he got Hoffenheim and he's a West Ham fan. And so he messaged me saying, what do you think about Hoffenheim? And I was like, joke of an owner, bit of a laughing stock. And he was like, yeah, that'll fit right in there then.
Yeah. Scott Hurrell's got in touch. Hello, Ramblers. When you were talking about your K-League teams during emails on Monday, I thought I heard Kaylee teams as the tap was running. I momentarily thought the lack of football had driven you to watching some kind of virtual Scottish dancing and ended up disappointed. Keep up the good work, Scott. P.S. Marcus is impressive Marcus's impression of Chris Sutton is somehow both brilliant and also it sounds like a Zippy from Rainbow. And also, he's a little bit upset because of my Pete's Film Club. Sometimes you give scores, sometimes you don't, making it hard to keep track. So now I assume that Soccer Dog is winning. Just assume, Scott, that Soccer Dog is always winning.
Yeah, Peter, apparently we, and he's absolutely right about our lack of consistency, but that's been something that's dogged us in the 13 years we've been doing this show. Mm. So that's fair enough. But someone piped up earlier this week saying that on Monday's Film Club, we didn't actually mention that Pierce Brosnan's in Final Score.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's be honest, he gave him 2 days, didn't he? Maybe.
Yeah, that was a day shoot, wasn't it?
Yeah, big time.
Well, yeah. Well, if you're not very careful, guys, somebody suggested me a 2¾-hour Tamil film, which looks amazing. I'll put the trailer on Twitter. I'll send it to Charlie. Right. It really is.
It's a film we're not going to do, watching
but it is. Yeah. It looks amazing, though, Luke. I genuinely think you'd enjoy it. Right, finally for now, we've got an email from Steve Charlton. Dear Football Ramble, I'm contacting you for some advice. Like many, I've been stuck in the lockdown for myself, by myself for far too long. What makes it worse is that I'm getting increasingly frustrated with the lack of football. In an effort to try and get some of the beautiful game back into my life, I had a kick around in my back garden. Whilst trying to recreate Letizia's goal against Newcastle in 93, I accidentally kicked the ball over the fence and into my neighbour Dean's garden. Usually I'd forget about this. Oh, hair police.
Oh, he's coming for you. It's the hair police.
Yeah. You'll never get me alive, copper. Usually I would forget this and just order a new ball. However, because I didn't have a football in the house to play with, I stupidly used my Saints branded football that was signed by the whole 2009-2010 squad.
Fish out the bin, presumably.
I know this sounds risky, but as a precaution, I did wrap the ball in cling film so that the Saints wouldn't come off.
That's that is, for I some like. Reason, that is the action of a pervert.
Yeah. I didn't think I would lose. I would kick the ball over the fence at any point, but I lost control. Now here is where I need your advice. Is it weird for a 44-year-old single man who lives by himself to knock on their neighbour's house while maintaining the 2 metres social distancing and ask for his ball back? Because to be honest with you, this was 3 days ago now and Dean hasn't chucked it back. I have a feeling this might have something to do with an ongoing boundary dispute, but I can't be certain. Please let me know your thoughts. Love the show. Steve Charlton at Football Ramble Daily. We need your help, people.
Yeah. Well, listen, Steve, at least you know it's in good condition because it's covered in cling film, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I think he's done well there. To be fair, though, we need to know more about this ongoing boundary dispute. Yeah. I feel like that's a huge aspect that we've only just got a little sneak into. I think, yes, it's weird, but it depends on how much you want your ball back, doesn't it? I mean, it's one of those kind of funny little quirky things that you'll probably get over. But you could always just slip a note through his door. That's probably what I would do. And if he doesn't respond, then obviously that makes the whole thing a bit worse. Go round there.
Kick down one of the boundaries or just maybe make a broom sticky by applying double-sided sticky tape and grabbing it back.
I would probably probably jump over the fence under cloak of darkness and get it back myself, unless they've got a particularly aggressive dog.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with Luke. I think you've got to get the ball back. Take evasive action.
You've got to get the ball back somehow. You can't just leave this as you seem to be doing at the moment, Steve. Your ball,
the problem
mate.
Is this is going to become a bargaining chip in your boundary dispute. So let's not get it that far. Let's get the ball back soon. Yes. Make some kind of lasso and let's get this ball back on your property. All right. Or, you want to get just a short sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say that you could go over, as Luke suggested, in the cloak of night, get the ball back and gradually move the fence as well. So you get a bit more. You could kill two birds.
What, move the fence behind the ball? So effectively still part of your garden.
There you go.
Shortfootballontheday.com if you want to get in touch with the show, and we'll have more emails on Monday.
Saucy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Time Tunnel. Welcome to the Time Tunnel, everybody. Today's episode of the Football Ramble that we look back on through the annals of time was called Badonkadonk from the 7th of November 2016. And what an episode it was. We began talking about an Australian man called Mark Murray who had patented the ham dog, a combo of a burger and a hot dog. I think he'd done this a few years before. I can't remember why we started talking about it there. Maybe it just come to our attention. And of course, that led into discussions about how you have led your life, Peter.
Right, okay.
Well, you patented
it. I looked up Mark Murray, yeah. And I don't know if this was before we recorded this episode or after, but he actually appeared on a show called Shark Tank in the US, which is basically the US version of Dragon's Den.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up selling the patent he has received for the ham dog, which is a hamburger and a hot dog in one, in like a weird-shaped bun. You can look it up. I'm not describing it to you because that is, frankly, not many things are beneath me, but that is. Mm-hmm. He had the patent for it. He ended up selling the patent for it, or 50% of the patent, for something like $2, because he reasoned that it wasn't going anywhere. He didn't have the money to get it up and running and get it sold in all these different places. But one of the Shark Tank entrepreneurs, millionaires or whatever, might do. And he was saying, oh yeah, but if we just break into 1% of the hot dog and hamburger market at like live sporting events, we'll make billions. So the guy was like, literally, I can't lose here. $2, give it to me now, I'll take it. Yeah. And then when he took it and paid the $2, he went, this isn't a viable business, but I'll take it just in case. The most soul-destroying
I'm not going to do anything with it.
Ever, yeah. Oh.
And this guy had previously said that he valued the whole business and the whole idea at about $100 million.
I love that. I love it when they do that. Yeah, it's the best part of the show. That it's
well, I mean, because it generally leads to them getting their maths ripped apart.
Jim, it's because they say, "Here, hi everyone, I've got this. I don't know, self-flushing toilet,
infant chip bowl helmet,
and people will then at some point, sometimes they'll go, oh yeah, that's quite a good idea, and they'll go right, and I'll for $500,000, I'll give you 5% of my business. And they go, how many have you sold? And they say, none. And then that's basically it for like half an hour.
They just sort of think about how many people there are in the world. It'd be like me going on the Dragon's Den or whatever, Shark Tank, and going, right, infant chip ball helmet. Has your baby got a head? If it's yes, then this product is very important. If not, you've got bigger problems in your life, so don't worry about it.
So, well, anyway, take your mind off it.
Literally take your mind off it. But yeah, so and then they just go, you've really not worked this out, Pete. And I've heard that sentence so many times in my life. Yeah, I combined a breakfast burrito and a murder this morning. It was terrible. What was it? Because of the vegetarian sausages and cheese I ate this morning.
Pete, just because some people are probably coming to this quite late, do you want to take us through what
it's a salsa ball to stick on a infant's head so you can sit with your child, watch Percy Pig or Peppa Pig or whatever, and eat chips / Doritos from the child's head. And the child's head has a ball on his head.
Children's heads are notoriously still all the time, aren't they?
So yeah, really, exactly. Really... Yeah,
and
yeah.
You applied for a patent for that, is that right?
Uh-huh. I did, yeah, but I didn't go any further than sending a drawing. I don't know. It lapses after a couple of years, I think.
I'm pretty sure someone else dipped in there and did it, because I'm sure I've seen on one of those mad viral adverts that you can buy them now.
I think it was Mark Murray. Yeah. He thought the ham dog didn't work.
Yeah, but also, Marcus, in this episode, this was. Did you say it was November 2016, right?
Yes.
And this was the weekend that I think is fairly significant that Liverpool went top of the league for the very first time under Jurgen Klopp.
Oh.
And Marcus, you call Jurgen Klopp Mr. Clippity Klopp, which I really enjoyed listening back again. And I've never heard anyone do before or since.
Mm. Oh, right. That's a strange one.
Why isn't that stuck? It's a great name.
Because I patented it. And no one else can say it. So you owe me money.
Shit, why owe you money now?
Exactly, yeah. There was a North London derby, 1-1, sort of fairly standard stuff. But elsewhere in London, Chelsea beat Everton 5-0. And Antonio Conte had just changed his formation to a 3-4-3, if you remember. He suddenly, for those who think formations don't really matter, check out that Chelsea side, because it literally took them from being, you know, a fairly decent side to going on to win the league. And in that win against Everton when they won 5-0, I remember Ronald Koeman after the game.
Oh, he was loving it too much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's quite nice if a manager can sort of go, you know what, they're a brilliant side. But they say it in a slight somber attitude. Koeman was like, well, they were absolutely brilliant, weren't they? They were actually, oh, did you get a load of them? He was so effusive with his praise. But as you say, too much so. If you're an Everton fan, you'd be like, all right, Ronald.
Yeah, you see the manager who will say, you know, okay, we were beaten by the better team. It's as simple as that. But I think there are a couple of moments at the beginning of the game that we could have done a bit better and we could have set the tone a bit different, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Ronald just went, I look back at it, Ronald just went absolutely, like, he couldn't believe his luck that he was even involved. It was like Alan Pardew, they played their part.
territory.
We played our part. It was just beautiful to watch. You know, it was just great to sit back and admire. It's like, you're not meant to be admiring it. You're meant to be doing something about it. Elsewhere, Manchester United under Mourinho, of course, beat Swansea 3-1 away with Ibrahimovic scoring two and Paul Pogba scored a beauty. So he can do it.
You know. Jimmy Campbell, you predicted Swansea for relegation as well, but they just about, well, they scraped it by 7 points, finished 15th in the end. But I remember at that point of the season, they looked in a bit of a state, didn't they?
Yeah. I meant later on.
Yeah,
I meant, fair enough. I meant at from some this point. At some
if anything,
point
you were just ahead of your time.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I bet there was
4D chess here.
Yeah, damn right you are. There was a new world record set that footballing weekend by East Kilbride, where they went 27 wins on the bounce. And they were, I'm not sure which league they're in. I wouldn't imagine it would be the same one, but they were in the Scottish Lowland League at the time. And that record had previously belonged to the great Ajax side of the early 70s that included Johan Cruyff and so on. And Edwin van der Sar, who was marketing director for Ajax, sent the team a video message on a laptop, which was in an Ajax branded van that drove onto the pitch at full time with 27 crates of beer. Absolutely glorious story. Well, the win, they weren't in the record books though, because I think they weren't a professional side or a top flight side or something like that.
And sadly, they're not doing brilliantly well. Obviously, the football's been suspended, but in the Lowland League this season, they haven't been doing quite as well. They're down in seventh when football stopped. Behind, I mean, the list of teams that are above them in the Lowland League, I mean, some of the names, I mean, we've said this over and over again, but I mean, they're just beneath civil service strollers.
Strolling.
Just above the civil service strollers in fifth, the Spartans.
Love that.
And second in the league at the moment, Marcus, your friends and mine, Bonnie Rig Rose.
Oh, yes.
You love that.
Lovely. Of course
and
I do.
And top of the league, Kelty Hearts.
Oh, well, there you go.
And they've got an amazing badge, Kelty Hearts, by the way.
Well, I'd imagine they would.
It's actually quite similar to those who know, and if you know, you know. It's actually quite similar to the Football Ramble First Team 11 badge.
It is a little bit, you got the love heart on there,
And the football,
and the old football, that's right. Maybe we even though they were formed in 1975, perhaps we've influenced them there.
Can I just go back to that Chelsea team that won the league that season, because do think it's worthy of note that they got 93 points that year, and it's obviously an amazing achievement. They won the league pretty easily. They won 30 of 38 games. Now I think only Manchester City in 18-19 and 17-18 won more than that. I think they won 32 both times. I think that makes that Chelsea side a little bit underrated, given they started quite slowly. They end up winning 30. That's a pretty amazing achievement.
Yeah, that's incredible.
They romped the league that year, didn't they? And like, it's funny that Conte seemed to sort of treat that as like, right, cool, job done.
See you later.
And then he was away. I think I tipped Victor Moses to be player of the season that year.
That's not true, is it?
I think I did. But no, he wasn't, Luke. I'm not. I had it a bit.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think
this is like a random shout. This is the most random thing anyone could say.
Well, because he was brilliant. Remember, he was played as a wing back. He was crucial.
Oh, you mean retrospectively? I know he was good. I'm just saying you didn't say that at the start of the season, presumably. Mm.
No. I think,
remember
number of months,
Marcus,
in.
You said it in a tone that suggested we would all be made fools of for doubting you.
You were
proven absolutely right, of course.
He had a great season, but I don't think he was even in the PFA team of the year, which, quite frankly, is a disgrace.
Yeah, I agree.
A damning indictment on that voting system. And we'll finish with this episode of on this. Episode on Time Tunnel. This was the same time in the footballing world when Sven was sacked as manager of Shanghai SIPG and Andre Vierschbaus took over from the saucy Swede.
Wow, that's interesting, because you've obviously mentioned Sven at the top of the show, which you can do at any time. We should all be on high Sven alert. But AVB gets a big mention in yesterday's OTC, if people haven't listened to that yet, because he's done a great job at Marseille, but there's difficulty ahead. He's already kicking off because he's been there longer than 5 minutes, and I think he's wondering why people aren't respecting him more. I'm paraphrasing, but it's worth a listen anyway.
I think that Sven probably joined that club for two reasons. They were originally called Shanghai Dongya FC. And they're also known as Shanghai Shangang, which sounds a bit like shagging, if you
and also gangbang. I like that we've top and tailed the show with Sven Marcus, because that is a Sven thing the man has never done in his life.
If the answer to the Mars winger, if the answer to the Mars winger later is Sven, I'll be very happy with that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Mars winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
It's time for a Masked Winger, and it comes from Frank Oinsegru. Thank you, Frank Oinsegru, which is a fantastic name and a fantastic performance, giving us a really twisty-turny edition of Masked Winger. So I don't know whether that's a clue. You will figure it out, seeing as Jim's footballing naming powers have been waning due to quarantine. Now it's time for this really nice set of extra bastardly clues. He has played out wide at times, so he comes under the Mask Winger criteria, all right? So, okay. I was born in Scarborough on the 13th of September 1987 to parents hailing from the Philippines and Jamaica. I made my league debut in 2005, and I have the unique distinction of being one of a small cohort of players, up to nine as of writing, to have played and scored in Europe's top four leagues, England, Germany, Italy and Spain.
Flipping heck. I can't even have a speculative one at the moment.
This is ringing bells for me, but keep going.
Yeah. My brother became the first Canadian to play in the Spanish La Liga as the Scarborough I was born in is actually Scarborough, Ontario, Canada.
Jim, Junior Hoylett? I'm sure it's not.
It's not Junior Hoylett, no. It's not Junior Hoylett. Yeah. A trick, a pullback and reveal quite early on. I had agreed terms to join Manchester City in 2008, but the transfer fell through and City decided to fill my right-sided midfield berth with the re-signing of Sean Wright Phillips.
Sorry, could you repeat the year that that was?
2008.
2008, okay.
To get over the disappointment of joining Manchester City, I agreed to play at the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics, and my midfield teammates included such illustrious teammates as Evander Snow, Calvin Younger, Pin, and Hedwiges Maduro. I need you to sell the pronunciations of these names, Pete, he says. Eventually, my team did get knocked out in the quarterfinals by Argentina.
Oh, this is really hard.
Yeah. This is a tough one. I eventually moved to Malaga on a free transfer in 2010. My name fitted in perfectly in La Liga for Spanish commentators and pundits as it's a Spanish surname of toponymic origin, meaning the surname derives from a village bearing the same name in the region of Burgos in northern Spain. I'm going to move straight right onto the center.
That's just unhelpful. There's nothing in that clue for any of us.
Nothing for you. No. I have had three ex-Barcelona legends as my manager during my career, such as Louis van Gaal, Michael Laudrup and Nadal. Not to mention, I've also been signed by Rafa Benitez, all of whom have helped me become the dead ball specialist I am today.
So I think he's... He must have played for Swansea then.
Not necessarily, because Laudrup was...
Did he manage Malaga? Real Mallorca, maybe. Okay.
I am something of a lucky charm in cup competitions, as I have won the Supercoppa Italia with Napoli, the German Cup with Frankfurt, the Domestic Cup with Feyenoord, and the League Cup whilst on the books with my only Premier League team.
Got to be Swansea, isn't it? Oh, not, it doesn't have to be, but...
Swansea fans are going wild at this point.
I bet they are. I bet they flipping are.
I have hate.
Hang on a minute. Did you say... I think he has played for Swansea. Did you say his international team or not?
I did not say his international team, but the names were Calvin Young, Apin, Evander Snow, Hedwiges, Maduro. But again, that was the Summer Olympics. So
I think he's Dutch. I think he has to be Dutch. So I'm gonna have a guess here. Luke, is it Jonathan de Guzman?
Go on.
It is Jonathan Nguzi.
Well played. Well played, Morsey. Nice one.
Scored twice in Swansea's League Cup final win against Bradford in 2013.
Oh, that would have done
it. I have a third place winner's medal from Welsh 2014. And I even started the match in the group stages against Spain. I am Jonathan De Guzman. Frank, thank you very much. He's a Patreoner. If you'd like to be a Patreon as well, get involved. Patreon.com/footballrambledaily. And that's your swinger for this week.
So I remember that he did that, and I also he was the only player I could think of that had played for Swansea and for Napoli, because he was at Napoli for quite a long time, but he didn't play very often.
Yeah, started at Feyenoord, Mallorca, Villarreal, Swansea on loan. Still, he got in 71 appearances. Not bad.
I'm probably better at this when I'm not surrounded by you lot putting me off with your four non-blondes.
Of course, Petey is a blonde now.
Yeah, he is. Mm. Yeah, three non-blondes. No, two non-blondes. Two non-blondes.
Well, there we are. Well, excellent. Well done, Luke. That was a tricky one.
Yeah, lovely.
Well
one.
Done, that man. So there we are. Right, we've reached the end of the show, everybody. Little reminder that we are watching Goal 2, Living the Dream, for Pete's Film Club. Also tomorrow on Greatest Games, Jonathan Wilson and I have Dominic Bliss on the show, who talks us through the Gran Torino side of the sort of 1940s, who dominated Italian football and, of course, tragically died in a plane crash. An intriguing sort of chat around that side. So I do thoroughly recommend, of course. And we're back on Monday with the Football Ramble, where we're going to be talking about some football. Because that beautiful
Marcus, can I just chime in with on Sunday, we're going to release another At The Match Revisited. And it's one of my personal favourites. It's Andy when he goes to Los Angeles to watch LAFC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a brilliant episode. Well worth checking that out on Sunday as well.
Los Angeles, where the helicopters have cameras, according to Snoop Dogg. Yeah, right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Bloody pleasure. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the Bundesliga. And say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
And goodbye to you, everybody. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.